Coming to you from various places around the world, this is the Global Exhibitor Podcast, the podcast designed to help exhibitors succeed internationally.
You know, he would bring gifts for us. He would bring sometimes food, but mostly stories about the people that he met, the relationships that he built, and the experiences he had over in those countries. And that just, I don't know, kind of ignited a fire under me to kind of replicate that in my life and in my family's life. And so,
your host for the Global Exhibitor Podcast is Jeff Hanna, a designer, entrepreneur, business strategist, industry thought leader, and student of world cultures based in the United States. Here's your host, Jeff Hanna.
So thank you all for joining us for this mini-series with David Hanger, who's considered a critic of food. He's also a very seasoned international traveler. His reviews on TripAdvisor have been read by over 100,000 people, so he's helped lots of people find the right place to eat. I believe this is going to be really helpful for you if you're in marketing or you're an event planner or an exhibit manager. You're planning client dinners, you're planning team meals, things like that in various countries around the world. This can be really helpful. So I've asked David to narrow it down to five of his favorite cities. And then within each of those cities, what are his top restaurant picks? And also, what are some of the activities that he recommends people do in those cities? So this is going to be a lot of fun as we take this journey with David Hanger around the world. So in this session, we're going to be exploring the city of Prague in the Czech Republic. We're going to be exploring Chicago in the U.S. and also Santa Barbara. We're also going to be talking to David in more depth about his approach to exploring international destinations and restaurants and how he goes about doing that so well.
Well, let's go to your fifth favorite city.
Yes. So number five on the list is Prague in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
And that to me is a great country all around, because so little of it, if any, was really impacted by the wars, World War I and World War II. And so a lot of the architecture that was there before is still very much intact.
Yeah.
And whereas in Germany and France, you lose some of that because it was destroyed during the war.
True.
So in the Czech, it still feels very dated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why they filmed Mission Impossible and all those movies there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
It's a cool place.
It's so cool. And yeah. You drive out in the countryside, you will see an endless supply of castles and places that you would think would be in a Disney movie, right? So I think that that's a really neat aspect of the Czech Republic.
Yeah, so how about restaurants?
Yeah, so in Prague, the number one, I would say, is an Asian restaurant called Sasazu. I think I said that right. It's spelled S-A-S-A-Z-U. It's famous for its Asian fusion meets gastronomy. So gastronomy being very scientific and Asian being a multitude of flavors and delicious, I would say. And so they combine those two, and the experience is really neat. It's in a what looks to be a converted warehouse, but it also has a feeling of like a nightclub. But it's great. It's a perfect place for groups. So okay. If you have a team event or if you're hosting clients, Sasazu is the place to go.
Okay.
Really, really
cool.
Good. Mm-hmm. And the second place I would go is a place that's near the, and I don't remember the name of the main castle, but if you're almost anywhere in Prague, you can look up and you'll see
up on the hill.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it either, but
yeah. But this place is on the way. If you're walking to the castle, it's on your route. And the place is, and I may butcher the name, so forgive me, but it's called U Glabich U.
Maybe you should spell that.
I will. So it's U space G L A U B I C U. U Glabich U.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm totally butchering that.
I won't even try to say it.
So this restaurant, I think it's probably been there for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Or at least it seems to be, because locals and tourists will go there, and maybe that's just because they're tired from the walk to the castle, but I think it's something more. I think that's
It's a combination of the people, like the service there, but the food and the drinks. So it's one of the places that you go, I think, for traditional Czech food, and at a very reasonable price. So some of the best prices that I've seen in the Czech Republic for what you get.
Yeah.
And that goes the same for the beer. So the famous beer there is the Pilsner Urquell. And I think I haven't seen a place yet in Prague that serves cheaper Pilsner than at U Glavichu. So that maybe that's why people stay there so long.
Could be. Who knows?
Yeah. When you're in the Czech Republic, the Pilsner Quell just tastes better.
Yeah.
Much like if you were in Ireland tasting the Guinness, it just has a very rich, delicious flavor. And you can only get it in that country. So it's a very similar thing in Prague and the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So you talked about, as far as activities, you talked about seeing the castle. Were there other activities?
Yeah, so
seeing castles generally, not just the one. But
there are so many castles to see there. And if you want, just take a drive. You'll run into a castle eventually. But some of the other things to do in Prague, the first would be the farmer's market. So they actually have, on the river, they have barges that are set up. And these barges are, I don't know if they're retired ships or what, but they've converted them into restaurants, bars, and even a farmer's market, right? So on Saturdays, they host a farmer's market, so you can go out there and find your produce or I don't know what you want to shop for, but it's one of the most unique farmer's markets that I've seen. If you want to feel like a local, that's something that you could go and do.
Yeah,
okay. And it's a beautiful setting. I mean, you know how beautiful Prague is.
Sure.
You're right there. The sun's coming up, and it's gorgeous.
It's nice. So,
and then the other thing I would do is, I think since you are in Pilsner country, you want to go to this beer garden that overlooks Prague. And I have the name, and it's Letna Zaradny. I'm sure I butchered that one as well, but I'll spell it too. Letna with an accent.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's space Zahradni with an accent.
Okay.
And they have food there, they have music, live music, and you can sit there for hours and just eat and enjoy time with family and friends, coworkers, but it overlooks the entire city of Prague. So it's a great place to go see a sunset in Prague.
Sounds good. Well, this has been fascinating, and I am sure that for every one place you mentioned, there's like 50 more that you could talk about.
So many.
Wealth of knowledge here. So for those listeners that are outside the U.S., we're going to ask you to throw in a couple of recommendations for people to put on their list of must-see or must-visit restaurants.
Yeah. So very quickly, I will say that I have been to a majority of the states. So I was tallying up yesterday how many for a conversation I had actually been to. So I've seen a number of places eating at thousands of restaurants. And so the two that I will call out, across the U.S., one, because I'm biased of Chicago and I'm from there, and this is, anytime somebody comes to Chicago, this is the one place I recommend, that they have to go. And so the place in Chicago is called Chicago Pizza and Oven Grinder. And the reason that I recommend this is because, you have deep dish pizza, you have thin crust pizza, and then you have Chicago Pizza and Oven Grinder. So it's a third category on its own.
Okay.
And what they make there is the pizza pot pie.
Wow.
So like a chicken pot pie, imagine a pizza pot pie version. So they serve it, it comes out upside down, incredibly hot, or they flip it onto your plate. And so it's in this bread dough bowl. They flip that bowl onto your plate, and then they scoop all of the ingredients back into that same dough bowl.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely delicious. But the other things that are really special about this place It is right across the street from where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre occurred. And it's in an old apartment building in the basically the basement. And you walk in and the host greets you. And it's the same exact host every single time. And the incredible thing about this host is that you will show up with three or four people in your group. And he says, how many people? And you say, three. And he says, okay, 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you can go get a drink at the bar, and there's a little vestibule outside so you can enjoy a conversation and drinks. And 90 minutes later, he will come get you. He doesn't write anything down. He remembers your face and remembers the time. I don't know how. It's an incredible talent.
Yeah.
And he comes and finds you. Oh. And that's true every time I've gone there. Same guy.
Okay.
Same experience.
Tell us the name again.
Chicago Pizza and Oven Grinder.
Okay, yes. And what's your second recommendation?
It is a place called San Ysidro, and it actually has a second name. It's called Stonehouse Restaurant on the San Ysidro Ranch, and it's actually in bigger areas, Santa Barbara, but it's specifically in Montecito, and it's up in the mountains.
Yeah.
And the ranches, and so you have to make a reservation for this place. It's not cheap. But if you have a significant other that you want to take for one of the best dining experiences of your life,
that's it.
San Ysidro, this restaurant is the place to go. The food is absolutely incredible. The views are also stunning, overlooking the Pacific Ocean and the rest of Montecito and Santa Barbara. And that's where I actually realized I loved my wife for the first time. And I think it was a combination of just the ambiance, the food, and her, right? So. Good thing I said her. But
good combination.
Yes, but it's when I think of top restaurants, that one is always in the top three for me, is San Ysidro, and it hasn't been displaced yet by other restaurants. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. Thank you. So I'm curious though. All the restaurants that you picked to go to, you probably didn't just pick them from TripAdvisor, but maybe you did. Let's talk about how you pick where you're going to go, and then the role that TripAdvisor plays. This is in no way an endorsement or sponsorship by TripAdvisor or have anything to do with TripAdvisor, good or bad. I'm just using that as happens to be the platform you use to do reviews. But
yeah. So I'll start with how I select restaurants. And I had mentioned this, I think, in the first episode a little bit, but it's all about senses for me, as well as the people that I'm going with. So if I'm by myself, I'll be maybe even a little bit more adventurous and off the beaten path just to test it. And then if it's a good restaurant, then I'll bring other people back and tell as many people as I can and write about it, spread the word.
Yeah.
So I like to connect people with those unique experiences. But I know that they're not all going to be good, and they all can't be good. And so I like to go explore them for myself sometimes first. Really, when I'm thinking about a new city or I'm looking for restaurants, I do a couple of things. So the first thing I do is I will use TripAdvisor, because I think that the reviews on there, for the most part, you know, majority of time, they are good and helpful. But there are occasionally some reviews that, you know, you have to take with a grain of salt. And so you have to go to other places to kind of validate and triangulate the information to arrive at a place that you want to go. And so when I'm not using TripAdvisor, I use Google.
Okay.
And Google, I think, has some pretty good reviews. And so you can combine those with TripAdvisor, and if you see overlaps, that's typically a good sign. I look at 5 stars and I look at 1 stars. And the reason I do that is I want to see what's the highest high for that place and what's the lowest low. And I think there are acceptable lows and there are unacceptable lows. If it's a foodborne illness or something, to me that's unacceptable low, and I will never go to that restaurant or endorse it or even consider it. So it just doesn't make the cut.
Yeah.
But if somebody complains about, you know, something not tasting right, that can be totally subjective. So that's kind of one that I would say is acceptable risk when I'm thinking about a restaurant, especially if I see it on TripAdvisor. And the third thing, and the most important, I think, is to leverage your network. and the people that you know in those cities. So every city that I've named and the places that I've been that have generally been the top restaurants, they've been from people that I've known, friends, family, work connections, acquaintances, and they have either taken me to those places or recommended that I go there. Yeah. And so that's something that I've found true about any experience at a restaurant, is that it's really about the people and connecting experience with people that you want to be with.
So. Yeah. Well, you've mentioned a couple of times in previous conversations that we had about your dad.
Yeah.
I know he also writes on TripAdvisor.
He does.
Is that what got you started? And I have to say, I mean, it's interesting to me to see, you know, me being a father myself and thinking about my father and grandfather and all that, how the influence that parents have on their children.
Mm.
And my kids could answer whether that's been good or bad. Looking back at me, you know, I don't know, maybe that is not fully materialized yet. I'm still trying to influence them. But what impact has your dad's experience in traveling, and I think your grandparents even travel a lot, what impact has that had on what you're doing today, sitting here talking to me on the other side of the planet than where you live?
Yeah.
About food and activities in different countries.
Sure. So the two biggest influences on my life as it relates to food and travel have been my grandparents on my mom's side, and they were always big travelers. And my grandfather traveled for work in a time when that really wasn't a thing. So, you know, he was working in the 50s, 60s, 70s, when international travel was pretty rare and difficult. You didn't have your direct flights from San Francisco to Singapore like you do today.
Probably take a couple more days to get here than it does now.
Exactly. It wasn't exactly the boat across the Pacific, but it was not exactly the 17-hour flight.
Not curious at all. If you're,
you didn't get champagne and cashews on the flight. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So. They had a huge influence because they love to travel. They love to see new places and experience new people and cultures and taste the food. And so, and we were lucky enough growing up that they took our family with them to some of these places in Europe and Hawaii and outside of the US. And so we got to appreciate that perspective of, you know, coming from America. Sometimes people will say, you know, America first or American exceptionalism. You can hear that. But to me, every country has pros and cons, things that are good and bad. And you have to get out and experience those countries to really appreciate that. And so I think that's some of a key life principle that I took away from my grandparents. And then my dad, growing up, as long as I can remember, he always traveled internationally and still does to this day. And we actually met 3 weeks ago in Singapore at the same time. We just happened to be here at the same time. And I took him to Foshia, of course, so you can maybe ask him someday about that. But he would leave for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and we would be at home, and then he would come back, and, you know, he would bring gifts for us. He would bring sometimes food. But mostly stories about the people that he met, the relationships that he built, and the experiences he had over in those countries. And that just, I don't know, kind of ignited a fire under me to kind of replicate that in my life and in my family's life. And so as much as we can, we travel to new places and see new things and meet new people and taste new things, because that's just what I know and what I love. And I think when you do that, you learn about new cultures, but you also learn about your own culture, and you learn about yourself more by seeing what's different. And so in a way, it's a way to look at yourself in the mirror and evaluate, like, what can I take from this culture and apply it to myself that I didn't before.
Fascinating. So David, if any of our listeners from around the globe want to contact you to get personal information, recommendations from you, are you open to that?
Absolutely. My email address is davidhanger88@gmail.com. So that's D-A-V-I-D-H-A-N-G-E-R and then the number 88 at gmail.com.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Do reach out to David Hanger if you want to ask him about activities in various countries, or if you want to get his recommendations about where to eat.
Yeah.
Because he will probably have some good ones.
And if I don't know it, I'll know somebody that does. So yeah. I'll connect you to the right people.
And how would they contact you on TripAdvisor?
Yeah, so they can search my TripAdvisor name, which is DSH Boldly. And that's DSHBOLDLY. That's it.
Okay, great. I appreciate your time, David, for being with us on the Global Exhibitor Podcast.
I appreciate your time. My pleasure. Hope we've had some good food in Singapore.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you, David. This has been the final episode of our mini-series with David Hanger, exploring the five cities. If you haven't had the chance to go back and listen to either of the first two episodes, please do go back and listen to those. Lots of good information, especially if you're planning to go to those cities anytime soon. You don't want to miss them.
We like to remind people that all business is conducted within the context of culture. So each episode provides insights to help marketers understand the cultures they're trying to reach and strategies for building bridges across cultural divides. If you like the Global Exhibitor Podcast, please share it with others, subscribe to it, and rate it on iTunes. We greatly appreciate the feedback. Please also check out our website and blog at www.globalexhibitor.com. And finally, if you or someone you know would make an interesting guest on this podcast, please let us know by sending an email to guest@globalexhibitor.com. And until next time, thank you for listening.